to 641 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Ben Scholden Morning News. In case you have not heard, there's been a lot of conversation recently over the fees charged in Santa Rosa County by the various fire districts, Midway, Pace, Avila-Milot, and Navarre. And there's been some changes at the state level to allow these fee structure changes. And as you heard us talk with Lisa Newell, or if you didn't, I talked with Lisa Newell about this yesterday. And, you know, big meeting, packed out meeting where people were, sort of gnashing teeth and wailing over the changes and what it's going to mean for some of them. Because I thought this was such an interesting subject, complicated, therefore exactly the kind of thing that demands the legal mind of an Alex Andrade, I wanted to have him on. Also, he was the state representative who helped pass this in, you know, the state level. He is the representative for District 2, Alex Andrade. Welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. Can we start with maybe just do a little background for people on what the fire fees have been, how they've been structured, and what the changes have been? I know you and I were just talking about this off the air. You were kind of explaining it to me. Everybody's a little bit different, but there's a little bit more uniformity now. But what's happened? Give us the background so we all know what we're talking about.
Yeah. So for the past, several years, three out of the four main fire districts in Santa Rosa County have generated revenue on an ad valorem tax basis, meaning part of your property tax bill has millage, a millage rate that's assessed for fire. For example, Midway's millage rate that they assessed for fire last year was 2.5 mils, which in context is nearly 50% of the Santa Rosa County as a whole millage rate, and nearly 50% of the Santa Rosa County School District millage as a whole. So you had folks in Midway who were paying, 2.5 mils. For context, on a, let's say, $500,000 house, that would be north of $2,000 you'd be paying just in fire fees for your house.
Wow. Okay. So, and that was Midway. And again, like you say, nearly half as much they were paying just for the one service of fire as they were paying for all of the county for everything else and all of the school board for everything else, which is amazing. Pace and Avalon also were on an ad valorem, a property tax basis too?
Yeah. Pace and Avalon Lot were also on an ad valorem basis, but they weren't levying that 2.5 mills. Pace is levying 1.5 and Avalon's levying 2.
And 2.5 and 2.5 was the max, right? 2.5 was the most they were allowed by law.
I believe so, yeah.
Okay.
Without a referendum. The one outlier was Holly Navarre. Holly Navarre was already on the fee structure that we are now implementing for Midway, Pace, and Avalon Mulot. And that fee structure is based on minimum square footage basis. So for houses 2,300 square feet or less in Navarre, they pay $150 for their fire fee, and then they pay about 7 cents per square foot above 2,300 square feet.
Okay.
That's the same concept that now Midway, Pace, and Avalon Mulot are taking on, just with slightly different numbers than what Navarre has.
And as I understand it, because the legislation made this change possible, Midway, Pace, and Navarre are now on up to 1,600 square feet. They pay a flat fee, and then they pay a per square foot after that, with Midway being a 300 base and Pace and Avalon being a 250 base. Do I have that right?
Well, the only thing you have wrong is that number being a base. So 300 is the maximum Midway can charge someone who owns a 1,600 square foot house. No one's telling Midway to charge $300 per 1,600 square foot house.
Okay.
They could choose to charge 200. They could choose to charge 15, like 150. Same with Pace and Avalon. Those are the 300 for Midway and the 250 for Pace and Avalon. Those are the maximums, similar to the 2.5 mil concept.
I gotcha.
That's the maximum they can charge. Everyone, I'm assuming, would encourage them to charge less than the maximum.
Okay, and have they set those per unit rates yet? Has that been decided upon?
Yes. I know Pace's meeting was earlier this week, and Midway's, I believe, was also maybe earlier this week or late last week.
Okay.
And yeah, they've all set them. Pace's did not charge the maximum. My understanding is that Midway did vote to charge the maximum.
Okay, so Midway went with 300. Pace went with something less, and Avalon went with something less, I guess, previously. And keep in mind that Navarre, for a bigger house, up to 2,300 square feet, is almost half that much at 150. Okay, that's sort of the fact background. And I wanted to talk about this in terms of, like, philosophically why it matters. So hang on for just a second. Alex Andrade, our state representative for District 2, which is the southern half of, well, it's southern half of Escambia County and all the waterfront areas of Santa Rosa County, Midway, Navarre, for example, or much of Navarre, not all of Navarre. So the people that are upset about this, I presume, are the people who have smaller and or lesser value homes, because for them, on the old system, when you raise the rate, when you raise the amount, it would affect the expensive home more. And as property values go up, it's going to cost the expensive home people more. Whereas this system shifts the burden of the cost downscale, so to speak, so that people in smaller or, you know, lesser value homes are going to wind up paying more proportionate to what they paid before. Am I right about that? Those are the people that are upset.
Yeah, and a few just keynotes. This is a charge for a fee. There's, you know, no one is saying that we should pay different rates for the same trash service. No one is saying we should pay different rates for the same electrical services or gas service or water service. This is a service that is being provided by an independent elected district. And yeah, the whole concept was that everyone who puts the same burden on the system should pay the same amount for the burden they place on the system. And this is also, I mean, Andrew, I know your position on ad valorem taxes. It's the most unfair method of taxation you can imagine.
It is.
When we talk about home values, they're not arbitrary, but someone who owns the same type of house, same value, if it goes on the market, same everything, if they've lived in it for 30 years, that ascribed taxable value could be $100,000, whereas someone who has lived in that same exact house for 1 year, their ascribed value could be $600,000.
Exactly.
It's a massive disparate difference, and it's a complete imbalance. I think one of the biggest misconceptions and one of the biggest...
Let me interrupt you for just a second. And one additional problem is if it's a rental versus a homestead, because... The
Correct.
Person who is in a homestead, they get all of these reductions in the taxable value of their home. But if you own a home that you rent out to somebody, all of a sudden you don't get any of that benefit. And if you own one home and live next door in the identical home that you rent out, on your own home, you might be paying, you know, 2.5 mils on 100,000. And the next door, you're paying, you know, 2.5 mils on 400,000 just because it's a rental. All of these things, which are insane, in my opinion. But okay, go ahead. I kind of interrupted you. You were going to say.
Oh, well, I was going to take up the question of those exemptions. Yeah, so some of the main exemptions we have are the homestead exemption. That's a $25,000 reduction in your assessed value, that fake number we just talked about. So if your assessed value is $150,000 and it's a homestead property, well, then your assessed value for tax purposes is $125,000. We have a couple other of those types of tax exemptions. It's like a $5,000 tax exemption for a disabled veteran, a $5,000 exemption for someone who has a disability. And so, I mean, those exemptions are like one-fifth of the value of the homestead exemption, but I think a lot of that's getting blown out of proportion in some of these discussions related to this issue. Again, the whole concept is you should pay the same amount for the same value. This should be across the board. If Avalon or Midway or someone else wants to talk about some type of ability to issue rebates for any specific person they believe shouldn't be paying for this service but still receiving it, I'm happy to discuss it with them, but that's never been discussed. And I've been working with Avalon and Pace and Midway since last year on these bills.
Businesses, under these systems, businesses have to pay a disproportionate amount too, right?
Yeah, businesses on their fees fees. Their fee structure is it's the same concept, but it's different maximum amount.
Okay. Now, the thing that you and I have not, we haven't really talked about yet, but I just wanted to make sure before we run out of time that we get to this. Something that I had never thought of until I did, you know, ride-alongs with Escambia County Fire was who really is a fire risk? Because it's one thing, you know, I get the idea behind the larger home pays a larger fee because there's more stuff to catch on fire. But in practice, that's not true. The nicer homes are typically less prone to fire because of safety measures taken, because of lifestyle choices that people who live in nicer homes, you know, for example, less likely to smoke or engage in risky behavior or, you know, there's all kinds of things, okay? What you really find out is that the people who are most likely to use the fire service are people who live in lower value homes and typically older homes, which are less safe to begin with because of codes that they were built under. And so even in a system like this, where you're generally paying kind of a flat fee plus a little bit per square foot, the people who are really putting a drain on the system or who are really likely to put a demand on needing fire service are still not paying really their fair share. Am I wrong?
I don't think you're wrong philosophically, just based on the numbers of where calls go for fire calls. All I'd say is what you're talking about is kind of like what is the conservative mindset on where the social safety net should go and how far the social safety net should expand. And part of this
and who should pay for it, right?
Yeah. At the end of the day. Yeah. Part of this is, you know, so at the end of the day, some level of the social safety net. I mean, this is a community service, same way as police. You know, I'm paying taxes for police officers. I hope I never have to call them.
Exactly.
I've never had police officers come to my house.
And part of that, if you live in a nice neighborhood, is you pay a lot extra because you're a nice house for police services that are more likely distributed towards poor neighborhoods. You know, that's just the way the police works too. Same thing.
And I could not imagine a fire district or a county commission trying to set their budget based on, you know, billing for services after they've been provided.
Like, right.
Imagine the nightmare for that budget department.
Well, all I'm getting at is, you know, we're never going to have a situation where somebody's going to propose that you should actually pay more for older and or lower value homes for fire service, even though the reality is like an insurance company. You know, insurance companies charge you more if you're a smoker. Well, a fire service should charge you more if you're a smoker for going on real, you know, fee for service kind of provided. Nobody's really proposing that. I'm just saying that whining about having to pay even a more comparable fee for service, like you say, trash collection, for example, is whining about something where you're already getting more than your fair share of service for the fee paid. And so I think the old system of ad valorem basis was crazy. I also think that charging 2.5 mils when the county itself charges only 6 is, that seems like a lot to me. So I just wanted to have you on to kind of banter this about a little bit so people would be informed and really think through kind of the implications of where we've got. Did I leave anything out? Any last thoughts you want to share, Alex?
Well, yeah, I think this has been an opportunity for a lot of folks to realize that Midway Fire District's budget has ballooned in the past 10 years. I mean, their budget in 2015 was $2.7 million. What they intended to tax and spend in 2024 was $8.5 million. This was their department has grown in revenue exponentially to the point where they were the only district in our general area coming anywhere near to taxing the maximum amount they could on ad valorem. And so I think a lot of folks didn't realize they had elected boards that manage these fire districts. And it might be an opportunity to discuss with the county commission, whether or not there might be an actual savings if the county commission took these services back over.
Yeah, I think that's the right next question.
Districts.
You know, this sort of patchwork quilt of systems, the various fees they charge, whether they're being used, ideally in an efficient way. I will say that, you know, speaking as an Escambia County resident, that having the county run the fire service isn't also the golden, isn't necessarily the golden solution to everything. But, you know, it's well worth considering. So I'm glad that conversation is sort of on the cusp of at least happening, you know, at least being talked about. Alex Andrade, State Representative for District 2, thank you so much for always being available to answer questions for me and for helping explain this pretty complicated issue to our folks. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Andrew.